The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the show today, I'll be talking with Richard Rossi, who's conductor of the Eastern Illinois Symphony Orchestra down in Charleston. And they're giving their annual Fright Night concert Sunday at 6 o'clock at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. We'll hear some highlights from that program, which is aimed primarily towards children, or especially towards children anyway. And then first part of the show, actually, talking with Bob Mangiolardi, who's managing director of Prairie Fire Theater. He's also the producer of their current production, which is Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, using the songs of Neil Sedaka. And that opened last weekend. We missed that, but they've got one weekend of performances left tomorrow through Sunday. Those are happening at the St. Patrick's Church of Myrna, just outside Bloomington. It's live and local. Hope you'll stay with us here on FM 90.9.
You tell me that you're leaving. I can't believe it's true. Girl, there's just...
Chances are you recognize that song, and pretty good chance that if you searched your brain not very hard, you even know who sang it. Breaking Up Is Hard to Do is a musical, actually, that is being put on by Prairie Fire Theater. We missed their first weekend, but in case you also missed it, you have an opportunity this weekend, three of them, in fact, to see the show in Bloomington or just outside Bloomington, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And the show, as you would gather from that music, makes use of tunes by Neil Sedaka. And on the phone with me right now is the managing director of Prairie Fire Theater, who's also producing the show, Robert Mangiolardi, also professor at Illinois Wesleyan University and director of their opera program. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So what made Prairie Fire do a Neil Sedaka show that seems, for some reason to me, and I might be wrong about this, it seems mildly out of character, but maybe it's not?
Well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I've always loved that tune, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. I've sung it several times in different contexts. And so I liked his music. We're also trying to do, part of our mission is to, we do opera and operetta. We did Pinchamus Pinafore, which you... we talked about later or earlier this fall, but we also try to do some smaller things that are kind of off the beaten path. You know, we've done Noel Coward, we did a show called Suds, which is kind of music of the '60s. We've done Forever Plaid. So usually our fall show, and sometimes when we had an earlier June show, we just do things that are a little more unusual, and just things that are off the beaten path. So. Kind of fits into that motif, and we'll hopefully continue to do some things that you wouldn't normally get a chance to see unless you're in a bigger city. So it kind of fits in. It just doesn't sound very much like opera or operetta, but that's kind of our, we do this kids opera in the spring, and who does that when we travel around? So we have this hat that's got several sides to it.
Well, just since you mentioned the kids' opera, just as an aside here to our main topic of today, tell me a little bit about that. You said you travel around with the show?
Yeah, that's actually our most successful, our most profitable piece that we do all year. I have a cast of, usually it's four singers and a pianist. That's not very dissimilar from the U of I's, what are they, like an opera look in or something, where they kind of go around some of the schools in Champaign. When I was working on my degree, I knew some kids that were doing that. And but we've turned into about 28 schools, organizations, and we have a set, and we have costumes, and we have a story, and basically the music is usually stuff that's in public domain, so we don't have to pay royalties for it. We have bought some shows that we've done. We've just just rented them, and then this last year a friend of mine wrote the story, and then we just kind of take music that's already out there, Mozart, Gilbert and Sullivan, Rossini, Donizetti, and we superimpose the music on our story. And so the kids get to hear really good classical music sung by good singers, but yet with a lighter storyline, so that it's usually a children's story or a fable of some sort. You know, Little Red Riding Hood, Three Little Pigs, things like that, and it's placed K through 5. And I would say we probably saw close to 7,000 kids last year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, some schools have 300, 400, 500. Some schools have 100, and we whatever they have, we bring our show to them. It's usually about an hour long, and it's quite successful. So that's if only I get my operas to be as successful as in terms of audience and interest. this little one-act kids opera, but anyway.
Well, it's a little more of a specialty thing. Yeah. So how many thousands did you have in your first weekend of breaking up? It's hard to do.
Thousands. I don't know. We probably had 300, maybe. So we had probably average of maybe 100 a show. So it's not so bad.
Tell me a little bit about the story. I mean, I know it uses Neil Sedaka tunes, but how do they manage to pull them together?
Yeah, well, it's really a musical review, you know, and there are lots and lots of musical reviews out there. And usually the musical review takes the songs and somehow tries to kind of weave them together. And it might have very little. It might just have a simple thing like a narrator. You know, if you think of like Side by Side by Sondheim, where there's a kind of a narrator and he just very marginally pulls it together and kind of connects the songs. This actually has a pretty somewhat involved story. We've done a lot of reviews, and I would say this has the biggest storyline, the most dialogue of any that we've done. Now, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. If you like the story, then it's good. If you think you just want to hear the music, you might not enjoy that as much. But I think the action is kind of set in the summer of like 1960 at a place called Esther's Paradise, which is a Catskills resort, which I guess is what it's at, New York, upstate New York, that offers nightclub entertainment along with swimming lessons and Simon Says contests. So you have this kind of, the comedy is, of course, the color of what this kind of day camp is like. And so that kind of comes in and out of the love stories that happen. And there's a kind of a headliner, and he's kind of a little bit of a sleazy guy, and the two girls kind of fall in love with him. And then the one ingenue was kind of the main character. She realizes what a cat he is, and then she falls in love with this guy that's kind of his apprentice or his helper, who actually is writing the songs, which are the Neil Sedaka songs, which he's been peddling as his own. He's trying to get a recording contract and, you know, break out of the Catskills, this little resort. So it's obviously kind of a comedy with a bit of a love story. So again, it's just a little more involved than your usual review, but I think it's kind of funny. And if you've ever been to one of these resorts, I think you'll really, really enjoy it.
So the composer is peddling Neil Sedaka songs that aren't really his? Is that the idea?
Right. The headliner at this resort, whose name is Del Del Monaco, he is peddling these songs, and he's trying to get on the Dick Clark show. But this other guy named Gabe, who's his sidekick, is really the one that's writing the songs. But at this resort that they're his songs, and he's again trying to promote himself so he can get out of the resort and become a star at a bigger venue. And then we find out that he's a cat, and it's all done in a lighter, you know, lighthearted way. But it's really Gabe that's written the songs. And
so Gabe is Neil Sedaka, so to speak.
Well, you could say that. There's no direct connection between the story, I think, and Neil's life. But yeah, you could kind of say that. The writer of the songs that you hear is Gabe.
And let's hear another of the songs. I always thought this one was hilarious, really. So it's called Stupid Cupid.
Oh, yeah.
This was one of his early songs, too, back in what? When was he writing these things?
I don't know. I don't think
60s
we have
or so?
You'd have to kind of look it up, but it sounds, again, more late 50s to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got that feel to it. Well, anyway, let's... this. I'll tell you... Go back on memory lane here, people, and enjoy some Neil Sedaka. You can enjoy Neil Sedaka's music in the show called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, which Prairie Fire Theater is producing for its second weekend now, second and final weekend at Shamrock Hall at St. Patrick's Church of Myrna, just outside Bloomington on Towanda Road, Towanda Barnes Road. And Friday, Saturday shows at 7:30, Sunday at 3 o'clock. And my guest is the producer of the show, Robert Mangiolardi. You're listening to Live and Local.
Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy. I'd like to clip your wings so you can fly. I'm in love and it's a crying shame. And I know that you're the one to blame. Set me free. Stupid Cupid, stop picking on me.
Stupid Cupid. Stupid Cupid.
Song's called Stupid Cupid, as you probably knew. Neil Sedaka singing it, and that's one of the numerous songs here. I'm counting about 15 or so by Neil Sedaka. They're in the show called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, which is, of course, the title song, and being put on by Prairie Fire Theater this weekend in Bloomington. And my guest, Bob Mangiolardi, who's producer of the show and managing director of the company, I'm assuming that each of these songs figures into the plot somehow or another, or there's some plot reason that somebody starts singing this one of these songs?
Yeah, I mean, it's a loose connection. I mean, obviously, you know, in real music theater, the songs and the story, hopefully, in really great shows, organically kind of come together. You know, they emerge, evolve kind of slowly together, whereas this thing, the songs already exist, so then the story writer has to kind of thread them together after they're already there. So, they somehow connect to the story. I mean,
they find any excuse to sing a Neil Sedaka song, basically.
Well, I guess you could say that. I mean, there's something to be said for somebody that can do that, where the stuff or the music already exists, and you've got to somehow connect them. And I think for the most part, it works pretty well. But it's not an easy. If I were a libretto writer or trying to connect this, it would not seem to me to be an easy thing to do. You know, it seems that it would be easier to start from zero or from scratch and then let them all grow together. But they all connect. Some probably better than others, but they're all interwoven into the music and the through line of the show.
You know, I hadn't given one second of a thought to Neil Sedaka in decades, probably, but when I saw you were going to do the show, and I guess I was a little surprised to discover he was still around, much less still performing. He's 72 years old.
Yeah.
And I guess he still does shows, although I don't know if he still writes songs or not. You certainly don't.
Yeah. I was in Palm Springs last spring. I was wondering. I thought I'd see him running around the streets there, because it seems like there's a lot of, Regis Philbin. There's lots of performers that go to Palm Springs, but I didn't check to see where he is. But I know he's still alive, and I'm sure he's
He's apparently still singing somewhere or another. I guess I had remembered in my mind, and then going back and listening to some of these songs, one of the really striking thing about his voice is that it, if you didn't know better, you might think he was a woman singing, because
his voice is so high. And this part of Gabe, this guy that sings Gabe, I mean, the keys are high. I mean, it's almost like countertenor. It's almost like when you hear the keys that they put him in, which is as you said, it's probably where the key he wrote for himself. It's so high. I mean, it's like an alto part almost, but it's in the male voice. So, and this guy, Sean that sings it with our group, has really got a great high voice. It's way, way up.
So you obviously, in casting, you had to look for somebody who could manage that.
It was not easy. It wasn't easy to find that part. You know, someone that's basically a good actor as well, but just so high and comfortable in a music theater style. So, but this guy does quite well.
Well, and I read that before talking with you that Sedaka was actually started out classical training in piano.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the Juilliard School in their preparatory division when he was a kid, and this is what really interested me. He said he apparently has worked primarily with this one poet and lyricist, Howard Greenfield. And you know when they met? when Sadaka was 13 and Greenfield was 16.
Wow.
And so they spent, you know, the whole rest of their lives essentially writing music together.
Jeez.
I mean, how often does that happen where you meet your muse, so to speak,
right,
when you're barely even a teenager?
Right. I mean, I can hardly remember anybody I knew with, let alone, you know, collaborating my whole life with somebody. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think I remember a couple of girlfriends I had. Well, girlfriends in third and fourth grade, if you can call them that, you know, the girl whose picture you kiss and something like that.
Maybe that's the first kiss. Maybe that comes right around there.
Actually, I do remember the first kiss, but we won't talk about that.
All right, well, I'll hear more about that on the
That was in second grade. That was in second grade,
Bob. Oh, my gosh. You started early, Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, you got to start sometime, right?
I know.
The longer you work at it, the more likely maybe you'll be successful someday. Do you have any favorite Neil Sedaka songs, and are they in the show?
Oh, well, my all-time, I've always loved singing Breaking Up Started You the Ballad. You know, he had two versions of that. He had kind of a, you know, there was a 50s real fast kind of, you know, shoo-op version of it. And then I think in this, I don't know, it was maybe early 70s, he came out with more of a romantic ballad version of it, and he was singing it, and that was always my indoctrination to Neil Sedaka. So I always liked that tune. Some of the other ones that that I kind of like, you know, he did Calendar Girl, again kind of a 50s, has a 50s feel to it. The one that also one of them that made it big was A Love Will Keep Us Together. I think maybe the Captain and Tennille did.
That's right.
Version. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did that. Very pretty song called Solitaire. So some of these that I didn't know, like Solitaire, I didn't really know, and that's a very pretty tune. Let's see.
Now, Stairway to Heaven is on the list here, but that's not his song, is it?
No, it's a different
Stairway.
Version of that. And then there's another tune called Lonely Night, which is kind of nice too. So you know, he's got a lot of nice tunes. The good thing is you'll recognize some, and if that's important as an audience, that's kind of fun. And then there's some really nice ones that you won't know, like the one I just mentioned. You can say, "Wow, I didn't know. I don't know that tune. That's a pretty tune."
Well, it's fun to discover some of these songs. Another one of the things that I was interested to read here. Sometimes, you know, back when artists produced singles, you know, for those who don't even know what that means, who might be listening, where you have a 45 RPM record, and, well, the same people who don't know what a single is probably don't even know what a record is. But the flip side was always interesting, because usually the hit tune would be on one side of the record, right, and then you flip it, and then a song you never heard of.
Right.
And I guess he used some of these to be at least one of them, and maybe others to be almost protest songs. You know, or maybe he figured nobody would notice. One called The Immigrant, for example.
Yeah. Who's the guy I'm thinking of? Who's the guy that sang Mac the Knife, made Mac the Knife? Bobby Darin.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because so many people sung that.
He actually had some protest songs, too. I mean, you think of this guy as this slick, you know, Las Vegas guy with Mac the Knife, you know, hey, and he's got all this kind of slick stuff. But he actually sang some protest songs too.
Well, I don't think any of the protest songs are in this musical, because that's not what it's about.
And they're not treated like that. So,
sweetly comic story is how the show itself describes itself, and it's called "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do," being put on by Prairie Fire Theater. For one remaining weekend, this weekend's performances are not in the usual location of Presser Hall on the Illinois Wesleyan campus. It's going to be at St. Patrick's Church of Myrna, which is located on North Tawanda Barnes Road. And you can find out more information about all of Prairie Fire's shows by going to their website, which is prairiefiretheater.org. And Friday and Saturday shows are 7:30 p.m. The Sunday matinee is at 3 o'clock. The managing director for the company and the producer for the show is Robert Mangiolardi, and directed by Kevin Wickert, musical direction by Michael Schneider. And the last song we're going to play, which you'll probably know too, I did, so you probably will, called Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, and one of Neil Sedaka's own versions. You can hear it done by Prairie Fire Theater. And thanks very much, Bob, for joining us on Live and Local.
Kevin, thank you. My pleasure.
Music by Neil Sedaka. It will be heard on the Prairie Fire Theater's production of Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. And you heard this conversation with Bob Mangiolardi here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Stay tuned for a conversation with Richard Rossi, who's conductor of the Eastern Symphony Orchestra in Charleston. They're giving their annual Fright Night concert Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We'll hear some highlights from there, previews from there, I guess. Support for our show today comes in part from Sangamon Auditorium, University of Illinois Springfield, presenting in concert classical violinist Midori, Tuesday, October 25th at 7:30 p.m. Additional information can be found at sangamonauditorium.org. We also have support from the third annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, November 4th and 5th in downtown Urbana. The festival features over 70 artists performing blues, jazz, old-time, Cajun, bluegrass, and Irish music with storytelling and more. Schedules and information are available at cufolkandroots.org. We heard the music that is called Morning Mood from Edvard Grieg's music for Henrik Ibsen's play called Peer Gynt. It comes from the first Peer Gynt suite, which will open the concert by the Eastern Symphony Orchestra on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. It's the annual Fright Night program conducted by Richard Robert Rossi. Richard's on the phone with me right now. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.
So have you done this Fright Night ever since you've gotten to Eastern?
You know, I'm trying to think. I think we have. I mean, it was one of the first opening things we did. I think that it was called Galactica was the first time, and we did the planets because some students had reminded me, because we're doing a thing from Lost World at the end for the little kids, and like, oh, you haven't done that since, you know, 2002 or something like that, because some of them went to the library to look at recordings. So yeah, I think we have done it every year. I think it's an important concert because not only does it provide, you know, wonderful music for our orchestra to prepare, but it also is a great outreach to bring in the young kids in the community to appreciate what we do as classical musicians.
And we'll talk about how the young kids are participating in this in a little bit. And inevitably on these programs, there are things that could be called, you know, kind of scary music and things that not so much.
Right.
For example, in Peer Gynt, what made you pick this particular suite?
Well, of course, In the Hall of the Mountain King, you know, which we have done like in years past. Matter of fact, when we used to be in our old place, when we were in renovation in the gym, you know, we even had the little kids participate running around the whole hall chasing Peer Gynt, you know, in the Hall of Mountain King. The little kids in the audience were the trolls trying to chase him and get him caught for the king. So, of course, that's probably the one that most people know, and I use that. And, of course, then there's the death of his mother in it. So there's, you know, there's different mood changes in it. And the other part of it is programmatic. So a lot of times with Fright Night, I try to find things that are programmatic to help stimulate interest with the young kids when they come to the concert.
Well, since we talked about it, let's get people shaking in their boots just a little bit with the Hall of the Mountain King. This will close the Peer Gynt suite of Edvard Grieg on the Eastern Symphony Orchestra concert Sunday evening. And this is Live and Local. In the Hall of the Mountain King from Edvard Grieg's first Peer Gynt Suite. My guest on Live and Local is Richard Ross, the conductor of the Eastern Symphony Orchestra and a whole bunch of other ensembles down at Eastern. He's the director of choral and orchestral activities. And Richard, you've been talking about young people with this concert. Do you aim... Actually, let me back up. I don't remember from the early years when you were doing this concert. Has it always involved some of your younger students in your community?
Well,
as
we have
performers,
that. I mean,
as performers?
Are you referring to the Symphonic Honors Initiative program, you know, our outreach?
Yeah.
Well, we started that. Matter of fact, Terry Colton, who is the principal second violinist, works with our students. Of course, you know, is one of the teachers in town here with a couple of others who teach a lot of our little kids. Part of the problem, I don't know if you're familiar with our district, there, most of the string programs are not in any of these schools in the district. So we provide at Eastern this opportunity for these young, you know, future artists, hopefully, to have an experience in an orchestral setting. So at first it started with, you know, them playing on just a few pieces. But as it turned out, these kids were just so excited about everything, they were working and preparing everything. So this is an outreach program called SHIP, with a P, that helps to provide that experience for them. So they come to rehearsals and prepare, but these are, you know, they have to be at a certain level. Now, I don't know if you're referring to that set in the concert where we have now this future set of SHIP kids that we're hoping will be able to play in the orchestra in the future. So in the program for Fright Night, we try to invite some outside program. We had Tamara Gingold last year. We had Robin Kierten bring her kids one year for a small set, sort of just to bring more awareness to what we're doing and to help outreach with kids in the community. Well, we felt this year it was important to reach right into our own little small group of kids here in the community. So Terry coordinated with my grad student, Sarah Todd, who will be conducting them, a set of selections to be performed from for future SHIP kids. So these are some really adorable little kids who will be performing a small set.
How little are these little kids?
Well, I think a couple of them are like 5, 6, 7 years old. So a couple of them, and we do have a couple of the regular SHIP kids who are going to help work with them as well. So I know that she's also doing a piece where it's sort of a little concertino with the, like these three little ones, and then a couple of the older ones are playing the, you know, the larger portion to accompany them. So it's sort of, you know, that Baroque setup type thing.
And one of the pieces that young kids will be doing is the famous Humoresque of Antonin Dvorak in an arrangement by Elaine Fine. Is Elaine playing a viola with you currently?
No, she's not able to for this concert, no.
Yeah, she's an area violist and violinist and composer, and obviously arranger. This is just kind of this one of the more popular arrangements of many of Dvorak's piece, just for your listening pleasure here on Live and Local. Antonin Dvorak's Humoresque, which will be one of the four pieces played by the future SHIP students. And again, Richard, that's Symphonic High School Initiative program?
Yeah, Symphonic Honors Initiative
Honors
Program.
Honors Initiative Program, yeah, of young people in the Charleston area participating with the Eastern Symphony Orchestra, who will be giving their Fright Night concert on Sunday at 6 o'clock. Richard Rossi conducting. And I see you've got a costume contest going on.
Yes, this has become much more popular every year. Yeah, all the kids in the community come in costume, and then we bring them on the stage, and they march around the stage to some famous march. And then this year we're doing the March from the Damnation of Faust by Berlioz. And they march around, and there are judges, and we pick the scariest and the funniest and the happiest and, you know, all these different things, and they get prizes. And it's absolutely endearing watching these kids walk across the stage, and the parents are so excited.
And so what do you wear for this concert, Richard?
Well, I'm not going to give the secret away this year, because usually it's a surprise when I come out on stage. So I don't know if I can tell you right now.
Well, you can't, but you can tell us what you've done before.
Yes, I have. I have been Dracula. I have been Lincoln.
He's scary.
Well, it's not always scary because, you know, as I mentioned, we're doing programmatic things for kids. So, well, I was a scary Lincoln. let me see. What else have I done? The Dracula was a famous one when we were in the old building, only because they used to bring me in a coffin.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty scary. And, matter of fact, it scared some people a little bit too much. But it was difficult when we got into the Dauna because there wasn't enough aisle room, and I'm too heavy, and the coffin was too heavy to hold me and make it down the aisle. So I had to start becoming a little bit more creative. Oh, I was a lion tamer last year because we did Carnival of the Animals.
Oh, a lion tamer as a conductor would be great. That's a wonderful.
Yeah,
that's a
it
wonderful
worked out because Jay Ivey was doing the narrating, so he dressed up as a lion, and so we sort of had a little shtick coming in, lion tamer and the lion.
Richard Rossi's my guest. He's director of orchestral and choral activities at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, and they're giving their Fright Night concert. The Eastern Symphony Orchestra is, and so Sarah Todd, you mentioned conducting a couple of these pieces, including the Damnation of Faust, Hungarian March. And then The Lost World, film. When did this film come out? Do you remember? With music by John Williams.
You know, I did know that my kids, because we were joking about it, and I thought it was...
Was this the Jurassic Park movie?
Yes, it is a Jurassic Park movie. And matter of fact, we do have video footage while we're playing, and so one of the things I like to do at this concert is provide different forms of I want to say stimulation, but entertainment for the children so that they can walk away and feel good about music in general. So that's why, of course, it's more programmatic. But one way we've done that with video, and we have this wonderful new screen, literally almost the entire size of the stage, of the back of the stage. So we're going to be playing part of the video while we play The Lost World. Oh, I also failed to mention, Kevin, earlier, we're also doing video footage for each of the movements of Peer Gynt. So I'm going to explain to the children about each movement, and then we'll be playing video footage for each of them. The one that is really interesting, and Alan Lanham, head of our library, dean of libraries, helped, you know, found these for me, so I'm indebted to him for this. But you'll be interested to know that in the fourth one, in the Hall of the Mountain King, he did find footage of Charlton Heston as Peer Gynt in a 1941 silent film.
Wow.
And matter of fact, I think it's the scariest movement. And I'm like, oh, dear, I hope the kids are okay with this. So it's a wonderful flick. And he's like 14 years old or something like that.
Charlton Heston was 14 in this thing. I didn't even pay attention to the year you just said.
Yeah, 1941.
Wow.
So it's just wonderful, yeah. We found this footage, and he was like, oh, you wait till you see this. And I was like, oh, this is great. So we're going to be doing that for In the Hall of the Mountain King. So it's amazing, yeah.
So it's the Fright Night concert conducted by Richard Robert Rossi at 6 o'clock Sunday evening. It is 6 o'clock. Usually their concerts are at 4, but 6 o'clock Sunday evening. And includes music by Edvard Grieg, a bunch of pieces involving some very young children playing in the middle of the program. There's a costume contest. And you wanted to mention, Richard, just briefly, your November concert, sort of more serious one.
Yes, we are going to do, the concert's entitled Triumph and Tragedy, and we'll be performing Dvorak Symphony No. 7. And I'm excited to say that also we will be doing the third piano concerto by Beethoven with Susan Teicher, who is from Urbana. So, and a colleague and a good friend of mine and a friend of so many people.
And she's on faculty there.
Oh, yes. Yes, she is on faculty.
So that'll be on Sunday, November the 13th.
13th, and that will be at 4 o'clock as opposed to Fright Night, which is at 6.
And these concerts are all in the Dowden Fine Arts Center, the wonderful hall there, with its copper-clad stage. And should be a wonderful time. Are tickets required, Richard, or are people just
yes,
show up at the door?
We do recommend that they do get tickets ahead of time, and especially call in. It's easier to pick up tickets if you've paid ahead of time. Otherwise, sometimes it causes a congestion at the box office. And we have sold out on some, so I do think it's a good idea to get onto the TIX website and get those tickets ahead of time.
And that's eiu.edu/Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A. You can find the ticket link on there and the phone number as well. Richard, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank
and
you,
best
Kevin.
Of luck with the concert.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Here's a bit of the Hungarian March from Hector Berlioz's The Damnation of Faust, which will be on the Fright Night concert. It's live and local. That music is known variously as the Hungarian March or Rákosi March from The Damnation of Faust, music by Hector Berlioz, and a performance we heard by the New York Philharmonic conducted by Leonard Bernstein. And you can hear that piece, one of several that will be on the Fright Night program by the Eastern Symphony Orchestra in Charleston Sunday evening at 6 o'clock at the Dowden Fine Arts Center. And you heard it on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area these next couple of days. It's the musical Wicked at the Peoria Civic Center Theater tonight at 7:30, and then performances tomorrow as well and on Saturday. They're at different times depending on the day, so check their website of Peoria Civic Center Theater for more information. Faye Ballard plays some ragtime this evening at 5 o'clock, part of the Krannert Uncorked program at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Then at 7 o'clock, it's the National Acrobats. And at 7:30, the musical cabaret put on by the U of I Department of Theater. And they have a performance as well tomorrow and Saturday evening at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. The Eastern Illinois University Concert Band plays in the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston this evening at 7:30. It's the Akash Mittal Quartet, hoping I'm saying that name right, at the Krannert Art Museum on the U of I campus in Champaign. That's this evening at 7:30. Champaign Park District Youth Theater presents Aladdin Jr. at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign tonight through Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's the musical 1776 at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, put on by the Springfield Theater Center, tomorrow and Saturday evening at 8 o'clock with a Sunday matinee at 2. The Eastern Music Theater at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, along with the opera ensemble, put together a chamber performance of Hansel and Gretel, the opera by Engelbert Humperdinck. That's at the Recital Hall in the Dowden Fine Arts Center tomorrow and Saturday evening at 7:30. It's Sight and Sound Jazz at Swingers Grill in Normal tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And the Jeff Helgeson Quintet with Chip McNeil is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. The Rantoul Theater Group presents Dr. Jekyll, No Place to Hide, at Grissom Hall Theater in Rantoul tomorrow and Saturday evening at 8 o'clock with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And the Little Theater on the Square presents The Full Monty. That's in Sullivan, Illinois, tomorrow evening at 7:30, Saturday evening as well, and a sunny matinee at 2 o'clock. We have support for our show today on FM 90.9 from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium at 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. The forecast calls for a breezy and cool afternoon with a chance of rain. The high 48, although that chance seems to be minimal at this point. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, the high about 55. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 62. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and classical music for Central Illinois.